Today's reading from Holy Scripture comes to us from the Old Testament, from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my father's." And he lay down and he slept under a broom tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and he drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you." And he arose and ate and drank, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. There he came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" This is God's word to us today. To the Lord be the praise and the glory forever and ever.
Everybody, whether they know it or not, is familiar with 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19 is where we read of Elijah on the mountaintop being told that God is about to pass by. And famously, in the chaos of the wind, the earthquake, and the fire, Elijah has no sense of God. It's in the silence that follows, it's in the calm after the storm, that Elijah discerns God's voice. Well, what we've just heard today is the forerunner to that scene. Elijah was afraid, and he had good reason to be. Queen Jezebel had been using her army to exert pressure on her own people to make sure that they worshipped the deity Baal. Elijah, though, with God's help, had defeated 450 of Queen Jezebel's men. And obviously, that incensed the queen. Enraged, Jezebel turned her wrath on Elijah, sending him a message in which she threatened to have him killed within 24 hours. So it was against that backdrop that Elijah found himself on the run. He was on the run and he was overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the challenges he was facing and overwhelmed by the belief that he'd failed in what it was he set out to do. Elijah couldn't see a way forward. So with his life in peril and with no obvious way out that he could see, Elijah prayed to God to let him die. Death would have been preferable in that moment to the despair and sense of loss that he felt. And with that, Elijah fell asleep under a tree. What follows next in the story is a curious, almost comical mixture of the mundane and the incredible. Being prodded awake, Elijah finds that he's in the company of a messenger or an angel. Messenger is the word that's used in the Hebrew. But there's nothing earth-shattering about this encounter. No grand proclamations, no fanfare, no heavenly host, no celestial music, no life-changing message. In short, no message from God breaking into the here and now with the sort of display you'd say was either awe-inspiring or would stop somebody short in their tracks. It just wasn't the case for Elijah. It's not how it happened. Whereas other people in the Bible got the spectacular messengers or angels, Elijah got the angel who woke him up in order to utter just four words. Four, nothing out of the ordinary, run-of-the-mill words. Get up and eat. Simple, pragmatic, and profound. We need to remember, though, just how lost Elijah was. He was down. He was lost in his own despair, defeated, and not wanting to go on. His sense of purpose was totally shot to pieces. He was so down in that moment that he couldn't even ask God, "Where do I go from here?" He was so down that all he could say was, "I've had enough and I can't go on." But it was in precisely that moment that God then, in the story, plants the seeds of change. There are no great platitudes from God, if you notice. It will be all right in the end, trust me. Similarly, no demands and no promises. God simply provides Elijah with the next step, with the next thing to do. And the next step is nothing more dramatic than having something to eat, nothing more ordinary than receiving some sustenance. Through the angel, the messenger, God prompted Elijah to do something practical and concrete. And in something as simple as eating, in using what it was that God put in front of him, God gave Elijah what he needed for the road ahead. It might have seemed too little, it might have seemed irrelevant, it might have seemed insignificant. But as it often is with God, it was enough. I actually love the lack of drama in this account. I love that mental picture of an angel, a messenger, prodding Elijah awake, not with some magic wand-waving intervention, but in a completely casual, ordinary way, saying, "All you have to do next is have something to eat." In other words, God will take care of the rest. What you have to do is to take the next step, and nothing more than that. And for Elijah, his next step led him to Mount Horeb. And on Mount Horeb, Elijah was open to God's encounter. And it was through that experience that he regained something of his purpose and direction. I suspect that it can be easier to watch and wait for the big stuff than to pay attention to the small stuff in faith terms. It would be rather nice if our experience of God breaking into our awareness and into time and space were out of the ordinary. But for many of us, that won't necessarily be our experience. For many of us, our experience will be more akin to the messenger giving us the metaphorical tug on the foot or prod in the ribs, reminding us that in order to go forward, we have to take care of ourselves and we have to allow God to provide. Many of us will probably identify more with Elijah than with the likes of Mary or Elizabeth or Mary Magdalene or Isaiah or the shepherds. Not so much a heavenly choir addressing us, but more a delicate nudge to get our attention when we've had enough or when we feel we can't go on. Because subtly, in those moments, through faith, God comes to us. And God lays before us what we need for the journey. And sometimes what we need is simple and uncomplicated and straightforward. Sometimes it's right in front of us. But the blessing to us, as with Elijah, is that what God provides will always take us further than we dare to imagine. Amen. Thanks be to God.